are going to be in Revelation 4, verse 3 today. So isn't that excited? Y'all excited about that?
What?
Say yes.
Yes. And about and the rainbow.
Excited about God's word.
That's right.
In the ring. In the
Revelation 4, 3. The ladies should like this class because we're going to talk about gemstones, beautiful gemstones. So you guys should really like it.
Well, you didn't mention the rainbow.
Have one.
Well, the rainbow's coming at the... I don't know if we'll get to the rainbow, but it's funny. I was working all morning on where it talks about the rainbow here in verse 3. And popping up, this just here a little bit ago, popping up was this beautiful picture with a rainbow. Mm. It just... I mean, I had nothing to do with it. Just right. It pops on every computer, you know. Uh-huh. So. God is good.
Yes, amen, all the time.
All the time.
Yes.
All right. Just want to make sure we're all awake today. I know Buddy's taking some medication to try to kick something. He said he might fall asleep, and I said I won't be offended.
He
will because I'll be
sitting next to him.
You'll be poking him.
We'll just tell him, awake thou that sleepeth.
That's right.
Arise and shine.
For thy light has come. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let me read through this here. And he that sat...
You
want
to pray?
Huh?
You want to pray?
Oh, pray.
My mouth's full, I can't
do it. Her mouth's full. Oscar, pray, please. Okay.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together and to just look into your word, Father. We ask you to just open our eyes and open our hearts that we might receive from you today. We give you all praise and glory for everything you're going to reveal to us. And we know that your Holy Spirit, sweet Holy Spirit, was sent to lead and guide us into all truth. And Father, I just ask you to just help us to see the beauty of you and your word. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And there is going to be beauty in this word today because it's beauty in all of it. But this is really neat, some of this stuff about these stones. Really cool. You know, there's nothing in the Bible that is there by accident.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
You know, there's always an inner meaning or a spiritual meaning or some type of metaphor or symbolic thing or whatever. If you look deeply enough, you're going to find gems, and no pun intended because that's what we're talking about today, but you're going to find GEMs everywhere you look. I mean, seriously, it's just amazing how... You can read a scripture and you say, well, that's okay, fine. But then you start breaking it down, you start looking into it, you start taking some of the words, you start looking at the symbolic nature of it in comparison to maybe in the Old Testament, and it'll blow your mind. It'll just absolutely blow your mind. So, Revelation 4:3, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper, and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. Okay, you may read that, and you might, if you read it in the natural, you go, oh, there's all these pretty stones. Well, that's not what it means. That's what it means if you look at it in the natural. If you look at it in the spiritual, you're going to see it's much, much more beautiful, it's much better, it's much more exciting. And it has something to do with you. You know, you wouldn't think that, definitely in the natural, you wouldn't think that three stones and a rainbow would have anything to do with you at all, right? Mm-hmm. But it does, and you're going to see here in a second.
You already busted my bubble a long time ago when you said, you think you're going to walk on golden streets, live in a big castle? And I said, yes. He said, well, you're not.
Well, this is what I said. I said there's a spiritual meaning to those. Now, if you want to go to your grave believing that, I support you 100%.
No, I'm not going to the grave.
What are you going to do?
A burn. Oh, burn, baby, burn.
You're burning now. We're all burning. God's burning up the hay, wood, and stubble in our lives, right? And that's
He's gonna make
burning
sure.
Is, huh?
He's going to make sure.
Well, you know, the good news is he loves us so much that he burns up the hay, wood, and stubble on this side. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so why these three stones? I mean, it's interesting. I mean, how many ladies do you know walking around that says, oh, look at my jasper ring? You know, why jasper? Look at this Sardis stone or whatever. They called it sardine in here. It sounds funny, like a little fish, sardine, but it's a stone, Sardis. And then an emerald. You know, it's like, why these three stones? Well, we're going to talk about that today. And it's very interesting. The jasper is the first one, and it's a beautiful segue right into what we're talking about here right now. So the jasper is, of course, a precious stone, but this is what the jasper means, and this is interesting. It's exactly what we're talking about here just before we started getting into this. The definition of jasper is to polish, to be smooth. So I put in there, the only way you can be smooth is you got to knock off the rough edges, right?
Yes.
You got to take off the rough areas. If you're gonna take something, if you've ever worked with wood or anything, and you know you had to sand it down, what are you sanding? You're not sanding the essence of what you're sanding. You're sanding off the rough edges that shouldn't be there to actually get to the point where you can use that piece of furniture, or you can use that sculpture, or you can use whatever it is that you're trying to put together or to enjoy or whatever. A piece of furniture, it could be jewelry, it could be anything. So that word jasper, I'm going to use my expression, to knock off the rough edges. Guess what? That's what God's doing to us right now. Just like we were talking about, you said you're going to burn. Well, we're all burning, because anything that's in us that's not of God, God's going to burn it out. And that's a very good thing. That's not a bad thing at all. That's a very good thing, because the more of us that burns up, what's left?
He's consuming this. It's him.
It's him. He's left. And ultimately, that's where we're going. We're going to a point when he says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it, will bring it to a completion, will perfect it. What is he saying? He's saying, I'm going to knock all the rough edges off of you. I'm going to burn up all the hay, wood, and stubble, which means all your, you know, thoughts, bad habits, bad whatever, all that stuff. He's going to burn it all up. And guess what? When it's all burned up, The old you is gone. The old you's not there anymore. It's all Jesus. Mm-hmm. So the first stone I thought was important. The order of those stones and those stones I thought were very important. And the first stone is he's going to knock off the rough edges in us. Okay, Sardis is a gem of a blood red color. It was also in the breastplate of the high priest. Okay? So the high priest that could only go in to the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, that's one time a year, these stones were in that breastplate. So there was significance to these stones even back in Moses' time. Okay? And it's interesting that jasper and the sardine stone are the first and the last of the 12 stones representing the tribes of Israel. Okay? I'm going to wait just a second before I get into that. But that I found that was very interesting. Okay, so if it's a blood red color, what do you think of when you think of blood red?
Blood.
That's right.
It's also a fiery color.
A fiery color, a blood red color. It's got fire in it, it's got blood in it. The blood of Jesus. I mean, we can go on forever. The blood of Jesus is applied to us. Okay, so what happens when the blood is applied to us? What happens?
It's a cleansing blood.
It's cleansing. What else?
Well, saving.
Saving. What else? Healing.
Perfecting.
Healing. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow.
Yes.
It's healing, it's cleansing, it's washing, it's saving, it's delivering. I mean, without his shed blood, where would we be right now? We'd be under some ridiculous law that not one of us could keep. We would not be under the grace. We'd be under the law 100%. So thank God for the blood, and we can apply that blood. Okay, where did they apply the blood back in Moses' time? Where did they apply? They applied the blood. There was a ritual that they did, and it was a very important ritual. What was that about?
I know.
When the doors for Passover?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
They were told that the angel of death was coming. Okay? And I will tell you this. If you're dealing with, I don't know if I'm going to get into this next week in my sermon or not, but it's just been really, really important to me here recently in my life. But whatever your situation is, apply the blood. I mean, if you're dealing with fear, if you're dealing with bondage of any kind, if you're dealing with your thought product patterns or like you're like, you know, angry, upset, whatever, apply the blood of Jesus, because all that is an angel of death coming at you. When you're being attacked in your mind by fear or whatever,
stress,
all that garbage doesn't exist, but it does up here, because we make it exist. Okay, and if we're going to make it exist up here, we're putting ourselves in a hurting place, you know? I mean, and I don't know if you've all experienced it. I have.
Okay. It's really imagination.
It's vain imaginations.
It's not real.
It's not real. But your mind tells you it's real. And you believe 110% it's real. You know, I mean, I've been in a situation where I saw things get dark. I mean, I was in a room full of light, and I saw things closing in where it just got really dark. But the lights were still on. It was just an attack that you got to apply the blood, and that angel of death has to go. The blood of Jesus, that you can't have the blood of Jesus and the angel of death in the same place. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously. So, anyway.
So it's a protecting blood, too.
Huh?
So it's a protecting
exactly.
blood.
Exactly. So think about all that the blood of Jesus does for us. And if we don't apply it, I'm not saying that it's not there already, because it is there already. But I think there's just, we conjure this stuff up in our minds. We need to declare it with our mouth that this has no place here. Mm-hmm. You know, the only place that is allowed to be here, the only thing that's allowed to be up here is the mind of Christ. In the mind of Christ, there's no fear. There's no anger. There's no bitterness. There's no nothing like that. And so when the blood of Jesus is applied and we have the mind of Christ, then we think like Jesus thinks.
One time years ago, I heard a brother preach a sermon, and he said that he was in a revival up in Canada somewhere, and that he met this old man came up to him after the sermon, you know, and the service was over. And this old man told him that his name was Carter. His last name was Carter. And he told him, he said, because he was preaching about the blood of Jesus, this evangelist or whatever. And he said that when this old man came up to him, he told him his name was Carter. And he told him, he said, I worked with Albert Einstein. And he said, and we studied into a lot of different things, you know. And he said, the one thing that we couldn't ever really find out was where the life came from, you know. He said, you know, as much as we studied, he said, we could never figure out where life came from. And the evangelist told him, he said, well, in the Old Testament, they were told not to eat anything that had blood in it.
Mm-hmm. drink blood or anything.
And they said, and the reason was, is because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And he said, I told him, well, you were looking in the wrong places. he said, it's in the blood. He said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Mm-hmm. And that's why if you get cut and you don't, and you get a bad cut and you do not stop it from bleeding, you will die.
You'll bleed out.
Because your life will flow out of you and will be gone. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about the blood, what you're really talking about there is the very life of God, the very life. So, and if you realize when Jesus was resurrected, it said that he had a flesh and bone body. It doesn't say anything about blood anymore because he was not in the flesh any longer.
Right.
he had a glorified body in the sense that, you know, I can't walk through that wall there. But
and
he could.
Did.
He could and did. You know what I mean? Because he appeared to them. Because they when they actually were doubting him, he basically said to them, he said, you know, I guess it was, I can't remember if it was Thomas. I think it was Thomas or was that doubting Thomas.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he told him, he said, unless I stick my finger in the nail prints or thrust my hand in his side, you know, when he appeared to the other disciples, he said, I won't believe. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they're all together, and all of a sudden Jesus appears in the room. And he tells him, Thomas,
go ahead.
Stick forth your hand, thrust it into my side. Stick your finger in the nail prints in my hand, basically. And you know, as soon as he did that, you know what his response was? He knew Jesus was the Christ. Mm-hmm. But you know what his response was? My Lord and my God.
Mm-hmm.
He realized who Jesus was then. He was not only Lord, but he was also God. Mm-hmm. He said, my Lord and my God.
Mm-hmm.
But he told him, said, Thomas, because you've seen and believe, blessed are they that haven't seen
right. And
yet believe. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing about it is anytime you talk about the blood of Jesus, you're talking about the life that he poured out for us, the life of God that was poured out for us. That's what it really was, you know. But, you know, so when we talk about the blood, we're talking about the life, you know, because even in our natural bodies, you know, if you have a blood disease usually, and it's a bad one, you ain't going to live very long, you know. And, you know, but I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He told that story. He said, yeah, he ran into that guy, and he said he came up after the service. He said, I told him, I worked with Einstein, and we worked on a lot of things, and we figured out a lot of different things, you know, and they did. And Einstein was one of the most intelligent guys to ever live in the natural. He said, the one thing we never could figure out was where the life was, in the, you know, in the human body. Where was the life? And he said, I told him, well, I can tell you where that was. And he says, where? He quoted that scripture out of the Old Testament. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And that's why his life had to be poured out a ransom. It's not that God was being all ugly and wanted a bunch of blood. It was because the life had to be poured out to cover our life, because he was one without sin. He didn't have polluted blood. Jesus did. We got polluted blood. Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Our blood is polluted. It's been polluted with the sin, I believe, from the original sin. His wasn't, you know, because he was born of woman, but not of man. Think about that one. You know, Joseph wasn't his father. God was.
Stepfather.
Joseph was his surrogate father, his stepfather, that's right. So his blood, I believe, was a little different than our blood at that point, because he had unpolluted blood.
Right.
You know.
Pure.
He still was born of woman, but he wasn't born of man. You know. So he was the beginning of that new creation, man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why if you read in the Gospel of John, I don't preach a whole sermon on this, but if you read in the Gospel of John, it talks about to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You know, and it goes ahead and says that we're born not of will of the flesh, nor of will of man, nor of blood. Mm-hmm. So when we were born again, we were born into a different, even a different blood situation, because the blood of Christ covers us, the life of God.
Yeah. So he's transfused us.
That's right. Yeah. That very life of him is inside of us, and it's come to the forefront.
Oscar, can I ask a question? I've been sure. out of the room for a few minutes, so I'm not sure if it's even appropriate. You said about to those who, you know, he gave them power mm-hmm. to become mm-hmm. sons of God. Were they not already sons of God? Or is it the power to, does the word become sometimes mean uncover?
Okay, I'll tell you the way that I feel like the Lord showed that to me. That word for power there in the Gospel of John is not the word dunamis. A lot of times it's the word dunamis mm-hmm. when you see the word power in Scripture, and that's where they get the word dynamite from. Mm-hmm. Very powerful, very explosive. It's the word exousia. And exousia, if you really check into it, means the right, the privilege of coming into being a son of God. Well, how do you come into being a son of God? You come to the realization of who and what he uh-huh. says you are, mm-hmm. not who and what your situations and circumstances say that you are. I don't know if that helps or not.
That's always trouble. I mean, it not yeah. really troubled me, but yeah. I've always questioned that. How yeah. do we become a son of God if, in fact, we yeah. already are?
Well, see, he had to pour out his blood that man could come to the realization that they've been forgiven from sin.
The realization, know? Yes.
Because he took on the sins of the whole world. And sometimes, a little bit with the deeper teachings at times, they get away from that. And you can't really get away from that. Those are foundational truths. You can't get away from the fact that he took the sins of the whole world upon himself. Mm-hmm. That was sins before he came mm-hmm. and sins after he came. So his blood was the cleansing power of all sin for all time, for all mankind, you know. I hope that helps.
What you just had on there.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get off into a sermon there, buddy.
What you had, Rich, up there where you were saying jasmine and sardonyx stones are the first and last.
I'm going to get into that here in a second. So, yeah, definitely going to get into that. I was just kind of doing a little study on blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm looking for the place where it talks about blood and water.
Oh, that's back in the Gospel Epistles of John.
That's how they proved he was dead.
Yeah, and that's what came.
Let's talk about the three that gives witness.
Right.
But I think what he is that the one you're thinking of, the one where the three witnesses back in the Epistles of John.
Yeah. It's in John.
Yeah. Oh, it's weak. Three that bear witness. Here, I can get it. I can tell you where it's at in just a second here. Three that bear witness in Scripture.
Bear witness to
John
what?
John 5:7. Read
John 5?
Yeah, 5:7. It's an epistle, John.
Go ahead and read it.
Okay, I'll have to pull it up. I just looked it up. I can pull it up.
I can get it.
Hold on just a minute.
First John.
Okay, John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And then there, let me pull up the whole thing here. And then it says that there are three in the earth. Let's see.
Yeah, I've got it.
You got it? Okay, yeah. I'm trying to.
Here we go. Just bear with me on this one here. It says, okay. Let me go up a little bit. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, mm-hmm. even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that is beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. There are three that bear the record in heaven: Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. So, mm-hmm. do you remember when Jesus was on the cross and they took the spear mm-hmm. and they stabbed him in the side? What came out?
Water and blood.
Water and blood.
Right.
What was he doing? He was birthing. Yeah. Isn't that what comes out when a woman yeah. loses her water or the water's broken or something?
Yeah.
You know, once that water's broken, you know that baby's coming right down the road here quickly, you know. So it's a sign that when Jesus had to be stabbed, I mean, really, he was pretty much already gone. But that it signified what we're talking. It had to happen because of that symbolic birthing effect that was taking place when he was bringing on that new covenant, bringing on the kingdom of God, bringing on all the stuff that
I thought it had to happen because he was already dead and they couldn't break his bones, so that guy took a spear and speared it, and I thought that was it.
Well, in the natural, that's what they did,
right. mm-hmm.
but what actually was happening symbolically was that the water and the blood ran out of his side, which were what Rich is saying.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, Jesus said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me." Well, you know, don't try to work that out in your natural mind, or you'll go crazy.
Well, they did, and that's why.
And that's why they left.
They left. Yeah, because
they took off.
Yeah.
You have to see that he is the bread of life, and that's where we get our sustenance. I mean,
yeah.
I was just telling Julie, just driving, you know, I don't know, I don't even want to think about where I'd be right now if it wasn't for Jesus, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I've been with Jesus for over 30 years. He's been with me for almost 65 years.
Before then.
Well, I'm talking about here on earth. Yeah, you're right. I mean, eternity the other direction, but I'm talking about here, the physical Richard
yeah.
Ellison, you know. And I mean, I just don't know. Ooh, I don't know. I don't know if I'd even be here, honestly, but anyway, I just give him all praise, glory, mm-hmm. and honor. He is worthy. And it's just interesting to really delve into this and really find out truly how much he has done for us. It's truly amazing what he has done for us. And I think sometimes Christians only scratch the surface on what he's done,
definitely,
and what his grace
definitely.
Means. So
it's going to be unfolded to us throughout the ages.
Layer by layer.
Throughout the ages.
Yep. Yep.
Everything God did.
Okay, so back to the stones. The jasper and the sardine. Remember, there were three stones: jasper, sardine, and emerald.
Sardine?
Yeah, Sardis. It's a Sardis stone, but they call it sardine in the
Really?
New. Yeah, right up there.
The smelly fish.
The King James calls it a sardine stone, which is interesting because I think of the sardine as being a little fishy.
Stinky fish.
Yeah. That I don't particularly open up a can and want to eat. But anyway, it's a Sardis, sardine, whatever, but that's how they say it. But what's interesting is y'all are aware that Jacob had 12 sons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And those 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And a while back, we did a whole study on that from the pulpit, and we took every one of those tribes and broke it down and described what they meant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's interesting is, there was a change that took place
mm-hmm.
from the actual, remember Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And when it got to Revelation, those 12 tribes, the names changed to protect the guilty. But innocent, no, we are innocent. We have been acquitted.
Yes.
So we are not guilty. I was joking when I said that. But we are innocent, folks. Let me tell you, I'm so tired of people considering themselves or calling themselves dirty, rotten sinners.
Yeah.
I'm tired of that. That's not who you are. That's not who you are. You're a child of God. You've been redeemed. You've gone to the courtroom as a guilty person, and you left that courtroom acquitted. You've been acquitted. You walk out, if you're guilty of a crime and you walk into a courtroom, and that courtroom, someone comes in and says, look, whatever that person's guilty of, I'll pay the price. You walk out of that courtroom.
Where was he when I asked him to, when I said, he didn't come in the room and.
We're talking spiritually again.
You use this too mean, he wasn't going to get you.
You're the only one.
I got to let her reap a little bit here. As we all have.
Remember we talked about the jasper as the stone that is smooth and all, and I put on there, you got to knock off all the rough edges to get the smooth stone. He had some rough edges to knock off of you, and that was the way he decided to knock those rough edges away. So,
listen to my sermon this morning. Maybe I'll bring a little bit of that. Everybody understand that.
And we all been.
So anyway, there are 12 tribes, and when it moved to Revelation, Joseph's sons were involved in the 12 tribes, and Dan was taken out.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because Dan means judgment, and the judgment has already been done. Mm-hmm. You got people out there that think that there's this thing called a white throne judgment. And I've heard him say it. I mean, I've heard him say it right out loud. Mm-hmm. That they said that there's going to be, it boggles my mind that John 3:18 says we've been acquitted. You can go to it anytime you want, write it down. John 3:18 says if you're in Christ, and everyone around this table's in Christ, and everyone will be around in Christ, but if you're in Christ, you have been acquitted. But I've heard Christian preachers say that there's this white throne judgment, and it's like a parade.
Yep.
You know, there's a parade in my hometown that's been going on since I was a kid, and the same time of the year, every year, and they have a judging stand to judge the bands and the floats and all the thing to give them awards for who was number one, who was number two, who was number... So there's a judging stand that all the parade has to go by so that they can judge the parade, the members in the parade. Well, I've heard preachers say that this is going to happen with us. And
yes.
I mean, Oscar's over there smirking because he knows that we have already been acquitted. That's our new identity. The old identity, yeah, that's going to probably happen. But once you accept your new identity, you're not going to think about that anymore. Because it's already a done deal. Okay? So anyway, sorry for that, but I just get off on a tangent when I hear Christians that just consider themselves a dirty, rotten sinner saved by grace. Well, that's the old you. That's not the you now. You know? So let's move on from that and let's enjoy our freedom in Christ, you know? Okay, jasper and the sardine stone are the first and last of the 12 stones representing the tribes of Israel. So you've got Reuben, who was the firstborn. And ask questions, because this gets a little deep, but it's, trust me, just bear with it and you'll understand it. Jasper represents Reuben. Remember we talked about Jasper. Jasper mm-hmm. was smooth, you know, rough edges, knocked off, whatever. Okay, so that, and we have to go through whatever these 12 tribes represent. We have to go through that. You know, we have to go through each and every one. Time doesn't permit us to sit there and discuss each one because we'd be the next month, next 4 or 5 weeks, just going over that. But that's a study that it's you can get it off the internet. Mm-hmm. We still have it on the internet.
I'm probably there, I guess. Probably.
Yeah.
It should be there, probably.
So you could either ask Margaret to get a CD from it, or you could just check it. Go to the website. You can hear exactly how it was described back when we did that, what? Was that 10 years ago?
Yeah, I spoke on that one time 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Honestly, I did.
But I'm talking about that they can go get it.
But, I mean,
I'm
yeah.
talking about that they can go get it and listen to it and, you know. Okay, so Reuben was the first, and he was the Jasper, and Jacob, or firstborn of Jacob, and then the sardine stone represented Benjamin, who was...
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Reuben's name means see you a son.
Means what?
See you a son.
Mm-hmm.
To see the son.
And Benjamin means son of the right hand.
Yeah, now think about think about Reuben, mm-hmm. you know, as representing the blood.
Right.
When you see the son and you really see him for what he is, then your sins are totally forgiven.
And you're a son of the right hand.
And you're a son of the right hand. Yeah, there we go.
That's why it's the first and the last.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is?
The stones, the reason in Revelation 4, 3 was it? Verse 3?
Yeah.
The reason, there's a reason for the order, and there's a reason for the stones that were selected.
That's Revelation 6, chapter 6. I mean, in chapter 6, yeah, mm-hmm. where it talks about the tribes. Is
yeah,
what you're talking about?
Yeah, right.
Chapter 6.
And we'll get into that in more detail, and we can come back to this and revisit it.
I will say this, too. One time, not a few years back, I actually spoke on the breastplate, and spoke on those stones.
Urim and Thurim.
Yeah, well, and I actually spoke on, there's, you know, if you notice, everyone has a birthstone. And mm-hmm. how many of them is there? There's 12 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And those birthstones all have a meaning. Every one of them have a meaning. Some of them mean love, some of them mean forgiveness, some of them mean a lot of different things. Those birthstones correspond to those 12 stones that are in the breastplate. So, you know, I spoke on that one time a while back, and I don't remember what the title of the sermon was, but it's on the internet there somewhere, too.
Yeah, I mean, this thing just...
It's just vast.
Oh, it's so vast. I mean, we can't even begin to scratch the surface.
But it's so beautiful when you really begin to see it.
To see that the Lord put all this together, I mean, no man put this together. There's no way that man is intelligent enough to put this together. There's no way.
That's right.
I mean, we're talking over millenniums of time. There's no way. I mean, we sit there and we look at a person that's 100 years old as, wow, that is a long, long life. This is millenniums.
Yeah.
Millenniums. Thousands of years, you know. And so the way that the Lord put all this together, like a glove in a hand in a glove, I mean, it's just, it just, you talk about our God is an awesome God. That's all I need to know how awesome he is to see some of this stuff. I mean, it's amazing. So you have the Jasper is Reuben. The Sardis is Benjamin, the youngest. You got the oldest to the youngest, right?
Mm-hmm.
You following this here, Etta? Okay, ask questions if you want. But
I will.
This is a representation of us. This is what we go through.
Right.
And so they only brought out in the study that we're doing today, they only brought out the Jasper and the Sardis, right? And then the Emerald, okay? Mm-hmm. But right now it's the Jasper and Sardis. So the two stones represented the first and the last. Okay? And what's interesting is in the Bible it says the first will be last and the last will be first.
That's right.
So it just amazes me how God is so perfect. Anyway, again, we could spend days on this, but we have to keep moving. But we can answer any questions that pop up. But in other words, the first and the last is represented by those two stones. All the other stones in between, that is the whole of the covenant people. Okay? You got the first and last and all in between. That's the whole of the covenant people. And the scripture says, and thou shalt set in it the high priest's breastplate. I mean, there's a reason for this. The high priest, you know, if you don't know, the high priest is just, I mean, in today's Catholic Church, he would be the Pope, the high priest, okay? Back in the day, the high priest was the only one. There were three rooms or three areas of the temple, the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the Shekinah glory of God was. There was no artificial light in there. It was all the Shekinah glory of God. So you didn't see, of course, there wasn't electric, but you didn't see lampstands in the holy of holies. You saw lampstands in the holy place. But once you got into the holy of holies, it was a very sacred place that where God resided. Well, now that Holy of Holies is in here because he resides in here. And the Shekinah glory of God resides in here. And that's why, just like grace, we're supposed to receive that grace and then give it out. You know, impart that to all that we come in contact with. You ready to say something?
High priest could only go in there
one time
a year.
Day of Atonement.
On the Day of Atonement. And the only thing he took in there was, he took in the blood, and he also took in the altar of incense.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard it said that they believe that he tied the altar of incense to his leg, and he drug it in there when he went in, which would mean he walked it into there. And the incense are the prayer and praise of the saints. That's what it's a type of. So we have to walk into the Holy of Holies, so to speak, through our prayer and our praise, you know. And he inhabits the praises of his saints. So, you know, when you realize that he only went in there once a year, and when that veil of the temple was rent in twain in the Old Testament, from the top to the bottom, that was because Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, had been made. He entered into the true tabernacle of God with the blood sacrifice, which was himself, you know. And Rich has talked about this in earlier weeks, where when Abraham went up on the mountain and was going to sacrifice Isaac, and Isaac asked Abraham, where's the sacrifice?
Mm-hmm.
And the thing he said was very strange. He said, God will provide himself
a sacrifice.
So he's going to provide himself as the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he did, see. You know, in Jesus.
The word is so beautiful and so perfect.
Oh, it just blows you away when God opens it up to you and you see it all. It's amazing.
One of the reasons they said Abraham was a man of faith, there's many reasons, but the one that I just can really hone in on and focus on is God told Abraham, you know, your descendants will be as the sands of the sea or as the stars in the sky or whatever. Okay? In other words, you're going to have a lot of sons and daughters, grandkids, great-grandkids, great-great-great-great-great-great-grand, you know what I'm saying? So before he took Isaac up, who was his only begotten son, he had Ishmael before, but it was not the son of promise. It was done through
a man-made
means, not a God-made means. Isaac was through a God means. Okay, so he takes Isaac up there, and to do what he was asked to do, I don't know of too many people that could do that without faith. Right. Without faith, you couldn't do it. You would say no. But he knew that he had to keep Isaac alive in order for God's prophecy to be fulfilled. So he went up there doing exactly what the Lord told him to do, but he knew that God was going to provide something so that he would not have to thrust the knife in.
Even if he had killed him, he knew God would
raise him back up.
Raise him back up, because he was a promise.
He was the promise.
That's right.
You know, so anyway, it's just it's a type and shadow of the Father taking Jesus and the ultimate sacrifice that never ever does there ever need to be another sacrifice. Yeah. Jesus fulfilled it all. So praise the Lord. Okay, and thou shalt set in it the high priest's blessed breastplate, setting of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be sardis, there's your sardis, topaz, and a carbuncle, which I have no idea what that is. You don't need to look it up. And then this shall be the first row. The second row shall be an emerald. Okay, there's our emerald. Okay, we had the jasper, the sardis, and the emerald. A sapphire and a diamond. And the third, a ligure. I don't know what that is. An agate. I do know what that is. And an amethyst. I do know what that is. Okay. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. Okay, so there you go. Started with a sardis. And it ended with a jasper. Mm-hmm. Now what's interesting is jasper represented, that's where this right here is the scripture that says the first shall be last and the last shall be first, because Reuben was the first, and what was he, do you remember? Was he the jasper or the sardis?
Sardis.
Sardis.
Okay, let's go back and look at it.
He was a jasper.
Reuben was the jasper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. The jasper represents Reuben. Okay, so in this representation, Reuben was the first, Benjamin was the last. But when you go down to the breastplate of the high priest, look at it, just reversed. Uh-huh. Okay, it's just reversed. It said, and the first row was a sardis, then a topaz, then a carbuncle. Okay. And the second row was an emerald, sapphire, and diamond. The third row was a ligure, whatever that is, agate, and an amethyst. On the fourth row is a beryl, onyx, and jasper. So that right there gives you the scripture that the first will be last and the last will be first.
So is December jasper?
Huh?
Is December jasper?
You're talking about 12 months? You're talking about the 12 months.
Again, that could, if you want to call it a jasper in this case, the December, I guess so, yeah. You know, because jasper was last. Okay? And it's so,
but it became
this is so
first.
Interesting. Well, he was first that became last. Okay, what's so interesting here, and it says all these things, all these things are set in gold in their enclosings. What does gold represent?
Divine nature.
The divinity.
The what?
Divinity.
Divine.
Guess what? All this, and God's going to take all this, and he's going to set us in gold. I mean, so the type and shadow is you look at that breastplate of that high priest, and that's us. That is us. That's our walk with the Lord. And we are, oh, I'm getting chills just even thinking about it. Just got a whole bunch of chills. So that breastplate is like a map of our lives. You know, we go down that first row, second row, third row, and the first will be last, the last will be first. And guess what? We are all encased in the divinity.
And you said in Revelations that jasper was first, right?
Yeah.
But back there it was the last.
In the breastplate.
In the breastplate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was last.
Well, that's because ultimately everything is going to consummate itself in God.
Yes.
It's going to come and find its conclusion
right.
In God. You know?
The beginning and the end.
Right.
Because there will be a point in time where there will be no beginning and end.
So
time will go away. So when the time goes away, there is no beginning and there is no end anymore. It's now. It's present. Anyway, that's getting pretty heavy. I'm sorry.
So when the high priest goes in, he takes us all.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Well, and he takes with us the blood of Christ now. At the time, it was blood of heifers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he sprinkles, guess where he sprinkles the blood? Where does he sprinkle the blood in the Holy of Holies?
On the mercy seat.
On the mercy seat. Who's the mercy seat?
Jesus.
Jesus. He's the mercy seat. He's the ark. He's everything.
He was called the propitiation for our sins. And that, in Hebrews, that word is also translated mercy seat in other places. So.
Yeah.
Where does he
sprinkle the blood? It says something about the four corners. He sprinkles the blood on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant.
Then I read somewhere in the Bible.
You're talking about where the sacrifice was made. That was out on the altar.
On the altar.
Four corners of the altar. But when he went in to ultimately take care of the sins of the nation for the whole for the whole year, he went and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. Well, I tell you, you could get into I've taught on some of these things over the years. I don't get into them a lot out there because, can ask questions.
You'll glaze them over.
Sometimes. But, there's just so many things that you can open up, and it's amazing. I mean, it just blows you away.
You were talking about the heifer or the lamb that had to be sacrificed. I read this or heard it somewhere, and I thought it was really interesting. When it was becoming time for the lamb to be sacrificed, in order to keep it from getting any mark or thing on it, they were out in the barn, and they would use the manger, and they would wrap that lamb in rags and keep it in the manger till it was so that nothing would happen to it, so that when the shepherds came, that were all part of that time frame and that they were so understanding of all that, they knew exactly what that meant, who that baby was in that manger. I thought that was another a side story that was just amazing.
Precursor to Jesus.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they all those things had reasons.
It's awesome. Well, there's more I wanted to talk about, but we're out of time, so we'll finish up the, we're going to get more into what these stones mean. We're not going to spend too much time on it, but we're going to definitely...
Rich, if you want me to, I will bring my notes that I have on those 12 other stones, 12 birth stones, mm-hmm. and how they relate to the 12 stones on the, I can't tell you.
Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that next week?
Yeah.
Since I'm preaching, and then I'll just step aside for Sunday.
Okay, we'll just go over the stones a little bit. I'll do that.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I'll talk to you.
Let me just run through this real quick, and then because that'll get my portion out, and then you can then expand on it or whatever. The jasper stone, the clear white stone of Benjamin. So guess what? When we become that right hand, like Brother Buddy was saying, that it's the cleansing, the blood is the cleansing. So we've been cleansed. Mm-hmm. We're clear. We're white. White represents light, purity, and whatever. So there's a definite reason for that reversing, putting the last and the first. The Sardis was blood red, speaking of the sacrifice of blood, pointing to the cross and the first coming of Jesus to shed his blood for the remission of sins. So that had to happen first. The name derived from two Hebrew words meaning behold the Son. It pointed to the person of whom John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. It also tells us that he, the Lord Jesus, was the firstborn of every creature and the first begotten of the only begotten Son of God. There you go, 3:16. Matthew 20:16, so the last shall be first and the first shall be last, for many be called and few are chosen. And just real quickly, the emerald is a transparent, special, precious stone, noted especially for its light green color. You know, whenever you see light green, you think of growth. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're growing into that head, which is Jesus Christ. The body grows into the head, which is so... the color of the third stone is, it's the color of the third stone of the high priest's breastplate. And we all know how important the number three is. Okay, that's a godly number. And that emerald represents, you know, the Lord. And this is what I thought was super interesting. What's the third tribe?
Levi.
Guess what that means? Joined to. It's a priestly. We are kings and priests after the order of Melchizedek. I think I said this last week. I think we're coming into a time when, I'm not saying God's doing away with the fivefold ministry, but I am saying that the fivefold ministry, in a kingly, priestly ministry, you possess everything you need for that time. If God wants you to prophesy, you prophesy. If God wants you to nurture someone and, you know, be like a pastor for them, you will be a pastor for them. If God wants you to evangelize and get them, you know, excited about Jesus, then you'll do that. So we became Levites, you know. We became that priestly, but on top of that, kingly. So joined to, who are we joined to? We're joined to the Lord. We cleave to him. We unite with him. We become one with him. When we see him as he is, we will be like him. Jesus said, Lord, make them one. Make us one with you the way you and I are one. I mean, it's just so awesome. Did you have a question?
Yeah.
Okay, real quick, because we're about to run out. Because I'm about done. The rainbow I'll do the week after next, so... Go ahead.
So there was 10 of, or 12 of them.
12. Right? 12 sons.
12 sons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Say, so who am I from?
What's
am
that?
Who am I from?
All of them.
No, you can't be from all
can.
Of them.
You have to walk out that whole thing.
If there's... the first one and the second one. This son married this woman.
You're thinking in the
and her generation. No, I am talking about
spiritual.
No, I'm talking about life.
That's the natural.
Oh, but we are we're all natural. So my father and mother didn't have me because there's a limit in our family tree, say, back to where it started. We didn't all come from the same Abraham. We came from his sons.
Well, we did. Well, we came from the sons, but that's coming from Abraham.
Even in the natural, our DNA goes back to Abraham.
Well, it all goes back to Adam.
Adam, absolutely. We are all...
It starts with Adam, see, according to the scripture.
I kind of like Abraham better.
but it starts with Adam.
Yeah.
You know. But that's why Christ is called the last Adam.
Right.
You know, because... We bore the image of the earth of the first Adam. Now we need to bear the image of the last Adam, which is Christ.
You know, you said we're all, in our family and everything, we're all natural beings. But we are, who we are is not this container. We are spiritual beings placed into, brought lower, and placed into this hunk of flesh, you know, that is going to die off. But who we are remains.
We'll talk, we'll pick up this next Sunday. So just write down your questions or whatever, and we'll answer them next Sunday. Kathy, you want to pray?
Father, we worship you.
Yes.
We are just like that silly little dog, jumping up, want to be in your lap, Father. When I grow up, Lord, I want to be just like you. And Father, that's the way we worship you. We worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, we want to bless every other single person in this room,
yes,
in this building, in this city, in the world. Father, let your blessings just flow and flow and flow until all come to realize the beauty of the plans that you have for us, Father. Plans to help us, plans to just bring heaven right down, bring Jerusalem right down to earth, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Don't even know what to